Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
The wand is a British invention, but the idea isn't as crazy in Britain because, as you know, it rains all the freaking time. So they don't have to pump 4 billion gallons of drinking water every day into their lawns. On the downside, they never get to see the sun. Also, James Murdoch. So, Hank, we're all biased toward the status quo. Not to beat a dead horse, but that's the only reason we still have pennies. Like, if someone tried to introduce a coin that was worth a thousandth of a dollar today, people would be like, that's insane. Well, it's equally insane to have a coin that's worth a hundredth of a dollar, but since it already exists, we're all okay with it. So, Hank, if you can close your eyes and imagine a world in which there's a huge vegetable garden in the front of every home in suburban America, and there's a multi-billion dollar industry of people taking care of these vegetable gardens and watering them and helping you to harvest the crops. Your food costs go down, you have more vegetables in your diet, we use less oil and gas to transport food, but then one day you decide to rip up your vegetable garden and become the first person in your neighborhood to lay down turf grass. Your neighbors are gonna come over and be like, hey, what's the new thing? And you'll be like, that's turf grass. And they'll be like, great, what do you cook it with? And you're like, no, you don't eat it. In short, Hank, your neighbors are gonna think you're crazy, partly because they have status quo bias toward this world in which all front yards are composed of vegetable gardens, and partly because they're right.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. If Mother Earth and Father Time had a baby, never mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Oh my God. Oh, and I can hear it coming through the computer. I should just take that level down because it'll just be this echo the whole time. We're on Ustream right now. Now, for those of you following in, you're going to go, I can't hear you on Ustream. That's because the sound's not up. I'm calling it, it's not really. I'm calling it, boy, look at the side of my head. I can't do that. We gotta put it like
switch
here.
Switch it up.
There we go. That's better. A little more... Yeah.
We need like a shelf to do like eagle eyes view.
This is going to take some doing. Well, see, those of you listening, go to MikeNovak.net, MikeNowak. On the homepage, we got the Ustream, and here I am checking it out just to see what we get because tomorrow evening we get ourselves a big deal.
Garden chat. Twitter.
The big garden party at the Yarden.
Online garden party.
And by the way, I'm going to show. If you're listening, it's going to be a little disconcerting. But I'm just checking the video, and I hope people who are listening and are on Facebook and are on Twitter will write back and see if it's all everything's working properly. I don't know if that I'll keep this on the whole show.
Mike has a beautiful purple polo collar shirt on. If you would like to,
should have worn a tie. I should have worn a tuxedo. I may wear a tuxedo next week. The problem here is I suspect that the video is 30 seconds behind what... No, the audio is probably 30 seconds behind what you're hearing because we have a 30-second delay here because I swear more than anybody since Lenny Bruce. And we have to keep hitting that. And by the way, that lovely voice you hear is not... Heather Fry. Heather bailed on me today.
Hey, Baylor.
But I have the lovely and talented intrepid green reporter, Leah Petrusiak. Now, I'm going to turn this camera over to her. You cannot believe her headsets. Okay,
I'm going to Wizard World at Rosemont today, everyone.
And if you're listening right now, well, you're going to see it. Well, I'm going to try to time it. I'm going to chit-chat for just about 20 more seconds so that when I turn the camera over to her, because we only have the computer camera. In the future, it'll be more sophisticated. The idea is that I get cameras all here and over there and over there.
Full out crew.
And
you have to go online. You have to go to the website and see mine, Craig.
So if you just go to my website right now, MikeNovak.net, we're broadcasting. And it believe me, it's 9 a.m. All right. That's the other thing I got to take into consideration here. So now that I've talked about it and the camera is catching up with the audio or the audio is catching up with the camera, you have to see Leah's headsets, okay? All right, here we go. Put that back up on the other screen because I can't see where I'm aiming this.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm coming.
See, and that's the other thing. You got to have multiple screens here. Okay, we're going to turn this around.
Where do I look?
Let's see here. There you are. All right.
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
So, my C-3PO. Can you see him?
Yeah, she's got C-3PO.
Headset. Whoa, delay.
$25
at
$25 for those?
They're a little plasticky cheap, but they're pretty awesome. And at Wizard World at Rosemont, the most amazing comic convention. But there's all these little kids walking around with like Princess Leia's. I tried to get as many pictures with Princess
Leia's. But here's the thing: you look like Princess Leia with those things. You got the muffins on the ears.
This is my idea for Halloween. I'm just gonna wear these as my buns, and I'll be like Princess DJ Leia or DJ Princess Leia.
You know, I might just keep the camera on you. You're a lot better looking than I am. So that's what we have to do.
It's the bling, and you just if you were to come in, you should come in wearing gold chains, and then the Ustream would be like five times better. Wouldn't that be awesome?
At any rate,
gold caps.
Let me reiterate here for those of you who just tuned in and you're looking online and you went to MikeNovak.net and you're catching the stream there. That's the picture right now is Leah Petrusiak with her C-3PO headset.
Can you see the Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, you can see the Star Wars. It's upside down, of course.
Oh.
You see, okay, there you go. Now, point that at the camera so people can see that.
I'm like a spaceship.
The camera's over here.
Oh, wait.
where do you think the camera is? All right, now stop moving so much. There we go, so we can see
it. There was a great T-shirt there, and it was like my friend was on that Death Star. Whereas all these, I don't know, it was funny. So it's like I'm a spaceship.
So, and again, I will apologize that the audio doesn't match the video at the moment, because if some of you are probably listening on radio, and others are listening... and maybe at the same time you're watching the video. I'm trying to reposition. See, now my world is rocked. I have to try to. I'm not putting that camera on the side.
This is
of me.
Real radio.
I don't want.
This is the new era.
That's what I'm told. That you have to do it right. There we go. And you can see in the background. You can see. I don't know.
Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Yeah.
That's good. 820.
I'm doing it the wrong way. Here we go.
There we go. Yeah, the other way.
Yeah. You can't. It's like working in a mirror, you know, when you try to do stuff in a mirror. And, okay. So there we go. And so if anybody, feel free to comment, and Leah will take care of that. We should get our guests online because they're probably getting frustrated. Here's the way the show works today. Lots of great stuff. We start off, the reason we're doing this whole Ustream thing is I'm kind of testing for tomorrow so that we're going to have it ready. I'm going to be Ustreaming. It's not actually me. It is the ICG, IGC. IGC, I don't know, Garden Chat. Tomorrow at the yard, and you'll understand it in a second, but there's a big garden party and we're going to Ustream it, and it's going to be on Twitter, and you can tweet in and win valuable prizes, valuable Wally prizes, we used to call them at Gargantua Radio down the dial. Brenda Haas will be with me in just a second, and Lamanda Joy, who's been on the show many times, and we're going to talk about that, and it takes like 17 years to explain why and how this works. All right. Rick DeMaio weather, of course, at the bottom of the hour. And then in the second hour, I'm going to talk about the Chicago Recycling Coalition. If you can't catch the second hour of the show today, if you're listening now, I urge you to go to MikeNovak.net or ChicagoRecycling.org and look at our benefit this coming Thursday at the Logan Square Kitchen. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're showing the movie Scrappers, which is a documentary made by local folks about the guys who drive the trucks down the alleys and pick up metal scraps. But the point of the whole thing, and so you're going to be able to meet the filmmakers there, and they're going to be in studio here today in the second hour. But the whole point of that is that we're raising money for the Chicago Recycling Coalition because we still don't have recycling in Chicago. Mm. And Mr. What? What are you laughing at? This is not a funny matter.
No, I laughed because I thought you turned my mic off. You just
I did while you were on the phone.
Oh, thank you.
All right. But our goal at Chicago Recycling Coalition is to get recycling in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We will talk to you there. We will have the movie Scrappers. We're going to have beer and popcorn. And we're also going to recycle out in front.
The beer cans?
No, we will recycle the beer cans, of course, except I think they're bottles, which is a little harder to recycle, but still. We are going to recycle electronics.
Oh.
We're going to have a truck there. And so you can, bringing a whole room full of stuff.
Yeah, fall cleaning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you've got old printers and computers and whatever you have, we are going to be recycling that stuff. And the people who are going to do that, and I'm looking down my – see, don't you think I could get my stuff together? The PC rebuilders and recyclers are going to be there with the truck.
Yeah.
And we're very excited about it. So it's a great event. The point is, it's $20.
Mm.
It's all it is $20. Now, you'd go out and spend $20 at a bar – buying a couple of beers.
Right, and I mean, figure a movie plus
right.
a beer or two plus an extra donation.
Well, this is a movie.
Right.
Here's a movie plus beer. Well, the beer is a cash bar. But it goes to the CRC, Chicago Recycling mm-hmm. Coalition. Mm-hmm. And you'll learn about recycling, and we're looking for good people who want to help us get this done right, regardless of what you hear about Rahm Emanuel, and I'll talk about that later. So I'm mentioning that now. I'm going to give this spiel all over again in the second hour with even more passion. And that's what we will do. And then finally, sustainable food fundamentals. Kim Marson from Sweet Home Organics, one of my favorite farmers, organic farmers, will be here on the program in the second hour. So that's everything on the big show. So I think it's time to go to line one, where Brenda Haas is waiting very patiently. Hi, Brenda.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Where are you this morning?
I am in Bowling Green, Ohio.
All right, so you're not even here yet. See, I figured you'd be pitching a tent in LaManda's backyard.
And... No, I'm trying to figure out how to pack up all these garden goodies to bring to the group on Monday night.
All right, well, let's bring in LaManda Joy as well. Hi, LaManda.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Can you guys hear each other okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes people can and sometimes can't. All right. Did you either of you go online there to see the video?
Oh, yeah.
It looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, you know, we got the fluorescent lighting, which is pretty nasty.
Mood lighting.
Nasty stuff.
Sure, it looks good.
But here's the thing about this event tomorrow night in LaManda's backyard. And I'm inviting all of my listeners to come to LaManda's backyard. Are you there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
I just had to pick myself up off the floor.
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen. The way that people participate, there's two ways. If you have a Twitter account, you go to a hashtag garden chat and participate and tweet your little heart out. Or as I say on my website, just tweet until your fingers drop off. Or you can go to Ustream and just watch it and listen and see what's going on. Now, I need to explain all of this. And I'm going to start with you, Brenda, because I think to the average person who listens to my garden show and is not on Twitter, and does not go to the IGC, which is the Independent Garden Center conference or show that's at Navy Pier this week, this is a little confusing. So I'm going to have you, Brenda, put it all in perspective for us.
I think we're in trouble. No, I'm just kidding.
It starts with the IGC, right?
Pardon me?
It starts with the IGC.
Well, basically, that's why I'm going to be in Chicago, and I'm the administrator of the Garden Chat show. So I thought, you know, all summer we've been featuring garden products to help our tweeters and our community grow better gardens, and what a great place to be at the IGC show. You know, it's the nation's trade show where retail owners come to find new products. And now that takes place Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? So we are going to kick off a big party at LaManda's. We'll get some extra ice if your viewers need to come. So,
well, if we invite all of them, and
what's,
we are.
What's the address?
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because one of the things that's going on Monday night, you know, it is this party. Yeah. But every Monday at 7 o'clock anyway, you do a thing, you do the garden chat. On Twitter, regardless of whether there's a big party involved.
Right. 8 o'clock Central time, sure.
Oh, 8 o'clock Central. So we're going a little earlier.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So
we're
this
broadcasting a little different because my communicators or everybody that participates in Garden Chat who's going to be at this event, we need a good sleep for Tuesday morning when we all meet up there at the Navy Pier to share the products for 2012.
Yeah, so. But you're going till 9 Central. So the first hour is Ustream and Garden Chat on Twitter. The second hour is just the Garden Chat on Twitter.
Yes, but you know what? I think we may be sharing video on Ustream during that last hour as well.
So. Ooh, we may make it a two-hour extravaganza.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
wait, where's my bell?
We've got some great...
So that will be that'd be cool. Let's go for 2 hours. Now, LaManda, your husband Peter is sort of the tech guy for this.
Oh yeah,
yes, he's running out to buy some Star Wars headsets as I.
That's good.
Get them for
really
the whole
jealous.
Family.
aren't they just the coolest thing? For those of you who miss the Star Wars headsets, all right, one more shot of Leah. Okay, I don't know if you...
way cool.
Okay.
Way
so,
cool.
All right. It's good. We can do 2 hours of streaming. And the idea is that people on Twitter, and I suppose on the Ustream as well, because there's a chat box on Ustream. Are you going to take advantage of that?
Definitely. Actually, I hooked up a page to our garden chat page where they can watch the Ustream and participate on the Ustream just like you're doing this morning.
And again, this is the caveat, and I'm probably going to turn this off in a little bit because it's probably way too distracting. the audio and the video do not match. If to get the audio actually right now, you have to be listening on the radio because I really didn't hook it up to the computer. I just I'm just doing the video just so we have some video and see how that looks.
Sure.
You also have a ton of great sponsors for this event. So, you know, it's not just some kids getting in the yard and you know, drinking wine and falling into the sweet peas. You're going to be talking about products. We will be talking about products because you and I, Brenda, are co-hosting this event. And tell me some of your advertisers and what they're bringing to the event.
Well, we have Subaru Life, and we're real excited to talk about them because they do a lot for the community, gardening community, surprisingly enough. You know, because you would think a car company, what's that have to do with gardening? So we're going to share a little bit about that.
All right. And I have to stop you right there. I have to stop you right there because I posted this on my website, MikeNovak.net, if you go to this week's show. I said, there's a Subaru wagon that we're giving away.
Well, it's way awesome.
Yeah, it is, except it's not a car.
No.
Well, you got to make that clear. It's a wagon.
Okay.
We're not...
Was that one of my typos?
No. It's there. Okay. The point is, I went, oh, my God, they're giving away a Subaru.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be nice? And so I went on. I went, and it's really sweet.
I know.
It's very nice. It's like a radio flyer on steroids.
Yes. And with the ice chest in the back.
With
the
ice chest. I mean,
gardening.
Yeah, it's for tailgating.
Yeah. Or gardening.
And
you
gardening.
You can put your flats back there when you're shopping and your soil, and then in the back you can put your cool ones, right?
Exactly. Some cool frosty ones or
put your Coronas.
Your Corona with the little, and a little bucket of limes.
There you go.
Like a,
no, you pick the limes right off your shrub right there. That's how we do it.
Not in Chicago.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Not in Chicago.
You have like a hand rake that like doubles as a bottle opener.
You know, that's how I met Corona Tools. I Twittered to him and I said, you know, I've never heard of Corona Tools. Ha ha ha. Do you have a bottle opener on your tools? And we've made a great friendship, and they share a lot of their products with our Garden Chat participants.
I think though, Leah is onto something. I think
I
we
know.
A trowel opener.
Kind I know. You need to talk to Chris when he's up at the party. Here.
Okay, we're gonna make sure that you can dig with one hand, and then as you pull back up, it goes kush and
awesome.
Takes off that.
Awesome.
And also a recycling thingy on the side of the wagon too. So as we're going throughout the neighborhood, you could pick up things to recycle. Yeah.
Perfect.
This is a big idea.
I know.
Who's writing this down?
But just letting people know that. Now, you know, it's a $120 value, so it's not a small gift. It's really cool. But
exactly.
I just wanted to make sure that people who are on Garden Chat tomorrow we may have to say this during the Ustream,
mm-hmm.
that it's not an automobile.
Yes, we need to do that.
It's not an automobile.
Yeah.
Really.
That's fine. And to win that wagon, tailgate wagon, you can win it that night during the Garden Chat. We're going to announce the winner at the end at 9:00, and somebody's going to win that.
That's great. And yeah. But that's not all. Give me you have a bunch more sponsors.
Yes, we've got Stacy coming on from Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. And she's going to share with you, like, say your hydrangea. You have one in your garden that it just never blooms, and you just can't figure that out.
You don't have the right hydrangea. That's the answer.
Is that it?
Well, yeah, well, that's what I always tell people. They say, why doesn't it bloom? I say, you got the wrong hydrangea.
Well, you know, Stacy's going to tell us all about that during this live Ustream video. And you'll want to, you know, she'll have a product there to show you. And that's the cool thing, because, you know, on Twitter, our normal Garden Chat program, we share links. And you can click on the link and check out images that way. But the cool thing about Monday night's event is you can actually watch live. And right next to what the feed you're seeing, you can ask your questions and tweet along.
Okay. And you've got even more. I mean,
yes.
It's just a lists and lists and lists.
Let me mention it. Well, we've got lots of product sponsors if you come to the page. And
how many prizes are you giving away?
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've had so many companies that support the Garden Chat, and I'm just really excited about it. And I know the Garden Chat peeps are excited about it, because who's going to complain about free products, right, and being able to use them in your garden? We've got some wonderful organic products, and they're all listed on the page, and the way you can win those, well, you'll have to tune in, and we'll talk about it. Okay.
You know.
So what are the times again? I heard 7 to 8, and then I heard 8 to 9, and then I heard
We're
7 to 9.
We're doing 7 to 9 Chicago time.
Okay, for the Garden Chat.
Yep.
Monday 7 to 9.
The big Ustream event. And I also want to mention Easy Gardener, because Mr. P. Owen Smith is heading over to Amanda's place to share a few ideas on gardening.
So Mr. P. Allen Smith himself will be there.
Yes. Yes.
He is.
What an honor.
He's the Warren Buffett of horticulture.
Yeah. He is our keynote speaker over at the IGC event.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Great. All right,
awesome.
So Mr. P. Allen will be there
mm-hmm.
with gardening. And that's the other thing. When you're on the Garden Chat, you learn a lot. You guys trade tips.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be able to do it a little easier, because we're going to be able to show products on the screen.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And talk to the sponsors about what they've got. Now,
right.
I would be remiss. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, why do I have LaManda on the phone if we don't talk to her about her garden? Also known as the Yarden,
mm-hmm.
that sounds vaguely Swedish.
English. The Yarden.
I don't know.
Maybe Scotland Yard. That's what I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking Yomp and Yimini myself, but... Lamanda, I can't believe you volunteered to have this big event there. I would never let anybody go into my garden.
Oh, well, I'm a show-off. You know that, Mike.
Well, it's true. She is. If you haven't listened to the show before, Lamanda, in addition to having a very beautiful garden, which I have seen, is kind of one of the prime movers of the Peterson Garden Project on the northwest side of Chicago, the largest community garden in the city of Chicago. How's that going this year?
It's been a fantastic year. You know, last year was, we built it last year, so it was a lot of work. And this year, the community's built, people know what they're doing. We've been able to add some fun events. We have a music and master gardeners event on Thursday nights where we have live music, and the Illinois Extension master gardeners show up to answer questions. That's been super fun. And we're doing a fundraiser on the 26th of August, a wine tasting where our gardener chefs, we have a lot of chefs in the garden, will be making food inspired by the garden.
Oh, wow.
So that's great. And it just looks beautiful and lush. I mean, it's really amazing. Maybe when you're up here tomorrow, we can run over there real quick and you can take a look at it, Mike, or you can drive by on your way. It's really, really beautiful. And unbelievable, the variety of things people grow. And the majority of it is all, we started a lot of it from seed this year. We had a big plant sale. The kids at Mather High School started a bunch of tomatoes and eggplants and stuff from us. We really like to encourage people to grow heirlooms. So it's really phenomenal. Thanks for asking. We're very happy about it.
All right. Now, what about your garden?
Well, my garden, you know, I've been traveling a lot for work this year. So Peter has been the master gardener, and I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but it's been such a weird wet spring. We started panicking, you know, around June 1st because we weren't able to get stuff in earlier. We had a lot of empty spots. We put a lot of stuff in, so it's kind of melon mania. There's lots of things going on, and I can't find most of the labels because they're way down underneath things, so a little bit of a mystery, but it looks beautiful. I hope it doesn't rain today so I can finish weeding. But we're very excited to show everybody what we've got going. And this year, my thing I'm very excited about is I finally planted ground cherries. Have you ever done those?
No, I have not. I know of them. I've not done it myself.
They're related to the tomatillo, so of course they become insane. But they're these little fruits that taste like a combination of pineapple and caramel, and they're delicious. So there might be some of those to share tomorrow. Oh, I'm excited about that.
Okay. Give me a bag of them. I'll go out in the street and sell them.
Okay.
Make a pie.
We're talking to Brenda Haas and Lamanda Joy. Lamanda's hosting a big garden chat tomorrow. Hashtag garden chat. There's going to be hashtags all over the place. It's just crazy. And Brenda is schlepping in from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're buddies with a friend of mine. From Toledo way, who was just tweeting yesterday and giving me some grief. But that's okay. You know, people are allowed to give me grief. I really don't mind. That's fine. So...
We'll be nice to you Monday night.
Yeah, that was Kate Copsey, who's Kate Copsey. You got to know, Kate Copsey gave me my very first garden talk ever.
Wow.
Yeah, she hired me, and we just got who just posted that. We just had not about Kate, about ground cherries. I'm looking at Twitter here. We just had a tweet that says, I've planted ground cherries. They are great and need lots of space.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then we got a little hello from Helen Yost.
Uh-huh.
Hi there.
She'll be at the party.
Love hearing the voices of my garden chat friends. Hi, Bren.
Hey.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people are tweeting right now, which is which is really cool. And I have to explain that I don't mean to exclude other people, because I know there are people who don't tweet and don't care about Twitter at all.
Sure.
It's interesting that I've got Leah in the studio today, because she's more of she knows a little bit more about Twitter, and my usual producer Heather is totally Facebook. really has no use for Twitter.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't even understand why you use Twitter.
Yeah. I try to explain Twitter is kind of like Facebook status on speed. Like it's really fast, and it's a great way to disseminate information. It's kind of like what people do with their RSS feeds. It's like you just go through and look at the headlines, and you can go bam, bam, bam. I used to say before I'd get out of bed when I was working at Weekly Magazine, I'd wake up in the morning, look at my smartphone, just scroll through down, and I knew what all the basic news was that day before I got out of bed within 2 minutes. And so it's interesting like this. Like, you want to see conversations about gardening, you want to get quick answers to your questions, you just go on, you're bam, bam, bam. But it is confusing. But if anybody has someone out there who can show you, check it out.
But here's the thing about gardeners. A lot of them, they're doing an ad on my...
Your Ustream.
My Ustream. They went to an ad. It's like, wait, I guess they got to do that every now. Because I have the free version up there right now. So every now and then they're gonna interrupt and do an ad. And I'm going to turn it off soon, because what I'm discovering is there's a lot of pressure here. Not only to be on the radio, but to look into the camera as well. It's just, I can't take that pressure.
Too much stimulation.
Too much.
I have to note to you, Mike. And, you know, our hashtag gets crazy, the Garden Chat. People tweet garden information on #GardenChat 24/7. We encourage that because, you know, everybody gardens at different times around the world, right? And during the Garden Chat event, or during the regular Garden Chat, the whole hour, we actually save the transcript. So if you can't figure it out, you know, how to Twitter, you can go to our Facebook page or our webpage, and the transcripts are all saved there. And we've got, you know, weekly, we've got wonderful garden authors. It's not always about the products. It's about the everyday gardener. And, I mean, we've got authors, celebrities on there, and the everyday gardener who, you know, the young kids who, you know what, I don't know the name, but give me some dirt. I want to grow something. Mm-hmm. And that's what Garden Chat's about. So,
what's the site again?
Well, you can get to the Garden Chat. We're on Facebook, or bggarden.com/gardenchat.
DG? Yeah.
BG.
BG.
B as in boy. Bowling Green.
That's mine. bggarden.com /gardenchat.
bggarden.com
/gardenchat. Yes.
Yep. And there it is. All the information's there. There's a tutorial telling you how, you know, the different applications you can use to, do the Twitter easier, like TweetDeck. You know, some people use TweetDeck or TweetChat, Hootsuite. There's all kinds. But just basic information and how you can join in with thousands of gardeners, literally. So
yeah, and that's the thing. It's a way to do a radio program online where everybody gets to jump in at any time. You all feel a community when you do that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's been fun. A few months back, we had Joe Lample's team, Grow Greener World. We had Joe, his chef, and all. It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy. But there was so much information about growing natural and, you know, a lot of people. It's just a thrill for me when I go to certain garden shows, like Northwest Flower Garden Show last February, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful show. I had this young gardener come up to me, a mommy. I like to call them mommy gardeners, you know. And I was shocked. She had never heard of the Northwest Flower Garden Show, and she lives in Seattle. She had heard about it on our Garden Chat because we had Janet Ensley on talking about the show, and that made my whole plane ticket, you know, because I do that all on my own. You know, we've got sponsors who are providing tools and whatnot for everyone, but, you know, this is all fun.
So. Yeah, I mean, I do this same thing. Radio,
you know?
I do this for free.
Uh-huh.
I unfortunately,
yeah.
But no, you do the things you love,
and that was just wonderful having her come up and say, "This is an awesome show. These are awesome people," and she learned so much about gardening.
We're getting tweeted like crazy here, and let me just say, for all of you people who might be listening online and are tweeting, and I'll tell you what, some of the people who are tweeting right now, here's what you can tweet. Make sure that all the new tweeters who are going to be part of this go to my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show, and like me. That's all I ask.
Oh, okay.
See? You got to push yourself a little bit here. So go to The Mike Novak Show on Facebook and like that.
I'll tweet that right now.
Yeah. Well, I was going to have them do it. But,
I'll do it too.
I got a retweet on or a tweet here from somebody who says, P. Allen Smith, the Warren Buffett of gardening. I like that. So we've coined a phrase here.
I was going to say, too, your website, bggarden.com/gardenchat, it's great, too, because if you're not on Twitter, you can still go to that homepage and you can see the tweets. So you can still get, I guess, get a benefit of going to the site. You can see kind of what it's about, get the information of it, and plus you're on the site, so you have a bunch of more information there, too. So I just wanted to put that out there for everybody who's listening who's not on Twitter. So.
And I've got a person in New York listening here. It's Forever Flavor. I don't know if you've encountered her. Seedkeeper Company is jumping up and down in their boots right now.
They're you're going to want to watch because they're going to launch, I think, two or three new products that they're going to show on our Ustream, Mike.
They've been on the show, and a number of these people have been, and so we will all tweet that. Excuse me. We will tweet it live, 7 p.m. Central, starting tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central to 9 p.m. Central, also on Ustream, which you can get at mikenovak.net. Go to my homepage, but you can also go to yours, the Garden Chat page, and I've got that linked on my site on this week's show. So that's there. Before we go... Lamanda, what in particular are you proud of in your yard that you're going to be showing people tomorrow?
Well, every year we try and do something interesting with trellising, and this year we're trying what we're calling the up and over. So we're trellising the cucumbers and the trombetta up over the pergola entrance. And yesterday we had like a 4-foot trombetta that was dangling through the entrance, but we had to take it down because it was too windy. So the up and over is very exciting this year.
Cool. All right, we're looking forward. And the other thing you got to know, there's going to be food, but again, I don't want to talk too much about that because, you know, the tweeters can't have any food. They're just
make them jealous.
They're going to be online. But you have one of the most outstanding outdoor cooking areas I've ever seen in a backyard.
Oh, really? You have a big grill and tables?
And not just a big grill. I mean, it defies. I'm going to have to take photos.
Okay.
It defies description.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's damning with faint praise right there. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, Brenda, Lamanda, yes. I will see you guys tomorrow. We're going to be talking later today, and Brenda, you and I have to chat a little bit about how we're going to handle the big broadcast. Well, it's not a broadcast; it's a stream.
Yeah.
It's hard, you know. You want to call it a broadcast, but it will be going out on the internets. So it's important for us to get it right.
Definitely.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Travel safely.
Thank you.
And, Lamanda, I will see you I'll see you both tomorrow.
Awesome. Can't wait.
All right. Take care, guys.
Mike. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is going to be a blast. That's
going
to be really, really fun. Yeah. It's amazing how many people are tweeting. I mean, they're just... right now are just scrolling across.
And what's nice, too, I think that Twitter, the homepage, actually added the option to post photos, I want to say. That I think that's a recent tweak that they just made. So it'll be neat if people could also maybe show photos of their garden, stuff
all right.
like that.
Well, I think at this point, I think it's time to turn off the Ustream. I've had enough of this pressure. It doesn't match anyway.
We're out of steam with
and,
the
and people are sick of looking at me, so I just I stopped it, and I don't know if it's how long it'll take to go away. There it did. I think it's already gone away. Okay. So
bye-bye.
There you have it. We got Rick DeMaio coming up in just a second here. You might want to give him a holler. I have to do a shout out. You'll appreciate this, Leah, actually, before you get on the phone. Why don't you drag that over because you
all
understand.
Right.
I was talking to my friend Rita the other day, and she works overnights. And sometimes overnight Saturdays into Sunday morning, and she's getting home, she catches the beginning of the show. And she says she likes it because it helps her get to sleep. So those of you who are on overnight...
A little bit of grass can do anybody.
No, it's just the show.
Oh,
it's just
you
it's,
just have a very lulling voice. I think that's it. You are getting very...
Hi. We're talking gardening this morning. And then and like 17 people. They're out. Okay. Now I got to move this computer away because now it's every.
Maybe we could talk about to Rick about the hailstorm. Did you see the hail yesterday?
Yeah, I was there.
I was just
just knocked over all my CDs. yeah, I was out there, and it was pea-sized. In our neighborhood.
Size, yes.
Yeah. Not like the baseball or the golf ball size at the
almond.
Oh, man, that was nasty.
Or macadamia nut size, perhaps.
macadamia nut size. Okay. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. In the second hour, we will be talking to the filmmakers who have put the film Scrappers together. I think you're going to find it really interesting, so stick around for that. Does your soil need an extra boost? No? Put down that shot of red eye. Think cotton burrs. Cotton burr compost from Back to Nature is rich in protein, which is the primary food source for beneficial soil organisms, those little guys that aerate the soil with their tunneling and convert nutrients into a form that plants can use. Cotton burr compost is made up of composted cotton burrs, of course, which are a byproduct of the ginning process, and it's 100% organic. It also accepts and retains moisture like a champ, unlike peat moss. Back to Nature has been composting since 1979, and they are the largest producers of composted cotton burrs in the southwestern United States. Of course, they're up in our area now, too. Find out more about cotton burr compost and other fine products from Back to Nature at backtonaturecompost.com. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love them, so give them a try. Back to Nature products are available at Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois, Knupper's Nursery and Landscape in Palatine, Illinois, Castle Gardens in Volo and Richmond, Illinois. Back to Nature. Life doesn't start with the seed. It starts with the soil.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly all-purpose fertilizer, as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Available wherever garden supplies are sold.
Here's a tip from the care of trees. Often, the first place people look for trouble with their trees is the leaves. Is your tree losing leaves? Are there insects on the leaves? Are the leaves turning brown, or do they have holes in them? Are there fewer leaves this year than there used to be? Are the flowers not blooming? Many of these issues could be due to insect and disease problems with your tree. The first line of defense against pests and diseases is your tree's health. The healthier a tree or shrub, the better able it will be to fend off pests and diseases. The arborists at the Care of Trees assess the infestation and the tree's health and recommend the most effective and environmentally sensitive approach possible. State-of-the-art natural pest controls and dormant oils are among the tools they use to help restore a tree to health. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Leah Petrusiak is filling in for Heather Fry.
Hello.
Hello. You know, the problem is you're busy tweeting right now on your phone.
Yes. That's my part of my gig here. That's my job.
I know it is. It's weird because I make her, you know, tweet and then I give her grief for it.
And then you give me grief for not talking.
Exactly. That's, you know, it's multitask city.
It is.
Here.
It's speed, life on speed, this Twitter world.
Yeah, yeah.
All
well,
this multimedia stuff. It's like, burr, burr, burr,
and then
burr,
throw
burr, burr,
throw
burr,
a little
burr, burr,
radio on top of it. Hey, right? Ask and ye shall receive. We just got 3 new likes.
Nice.
It's that
yeah.
quick.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Go
out
to
there.
Facebook.
People are retweeting, and
right.
I'm trying to get to retweeting some of your stuff. Bear with me here.
It's
but
just amazing how many people
we'll
out
there.
There and they're responding to this. So,
it's a great show. It's a great page, too. There's lots of news. And yeah, so.
Do it.
Do it. All right, go back to tweeting.
Okay,
I got to talk to Rick. Let's bring in Rick DeMaio, our meteorologist. How you doing, Rick?
Good, Mike. You know, I'm thinking as you talk about tweeting to Leah there, are our college campuses in the future going to have statues of people leaning over with their hands with two fingers on a little box, tweeting and texting? I'm just wondering if that's how it's going to be, as opposed to them with their arms stretched out, holding on to a large book in the robe, kind of cloaked over their shoulder.
I'm wondering how
it's going to look like in another 100 years. I'm kind of worried about that.
Or like textbook photos, like of classrooms and stuff. It'll be like all the kids hunched over on like their phone tweeting instead of listening to the teacher up front.
Well, they do that now.
Right.
No, I'm serious because in some classes, you know, it depends on the class. But some teachers will tell students that they cannot have the computers open. Because,
right.
I mean, how do you deal with that? Because you teach many places, Rick.
Right, and at Loyola University, I have a couple of classes where we have, you know, the computers right there in front of them so the students can actually follow along with the lesson. I actually have a lot of links within my PowerPoint that the students need to click on. And my rule is if I catch you 3 times looking at websites that are not indigenous to what we're talking about, I drop you a half letter grade. And it's in my syllabus,
gosh.
And I've had other teachers back me up. The department chair actually had to sit in on the meeting because the student was challenging this. But the funny thing about it was the student always sat way in the back of the room, and there were windows behind him that actually showed the reflection because it was a night class, and I can see him during the NCAA tournament actually looking and following the game while I'm trying to talk. And what I normally do is I kind of walk around a little bit to the back, and I quickly see the student's body language change a little bit. But, it's a big problem, and I think even, you know, Mike, I sat in at a City of Chicago Department of Environment weather meeting a couple of months ago, and it was amazing. As soon as someone started their PowerPoint, everybody reached into their pockets and started checking their email. And it was a sad state of the way we communicate is as soon as people started to have the opportunity, and these are professionals with 20, 30 years in the business, have the chance to do something other than pay attention to what's going on in front of them, they'll take advantage of that. So
yeah.
You know, it's not just students and not just kids. I think it's everyone.
It really is.
And it's almost, I hate to say it, but when you see someone out, and someone else is talking, and next thing you know, they're looking at them, but yet they're actually checking messages coming in. Unless it's something obviously important, you know, it just says a lot about, you know, where we've come. It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. You know, it's nice to be in touch with everybody, but being overly in touch is a bit much, I think.
Well, I think it's important that you know, when you're teaching and you can send people to various sites immediately,
oh, yeah.
That really is an aid. But you're right, when they're watching the basketball game, and you'd think that a student would be bright enough to know how physics works, that there will be a reflection in the mirror or in the glass behind them. But, you know, I videotape legal conferences from time to time, and there'll be 120 lawyers in the room, and 20 of them will have their computers open and be reading the newspaper. And this is their CLEs, and I'm thinking, well, you know, they get credit for being in the room. That doesn't necessarily mean they're learning anything. And I don't, you know, I'm not knocking lawyers. I'm just saying this probably happens in any profession right now.
Right. And, you know, and I understand there's obviously need to do this. I think the funniest example, I'll make this real quick because I don't have a lot of time, but my brother works for Xerox and was in the middle of giving a presentation and he was actually pulling up an email that had a link to it, and someone had actually in the room sent an email back to the company's department chair in New Jersey, and it came up in the middle of my brother's presentation, and it went up, you know, it basically was on the screen in front of like 50 people. It was very embarrassing at that particular time, because you can, obviously the person was not paying attention. But you know what? You know, I think it's another thing. It's all good things and bad things. I still remember the movie Avalon that Barry Levinson did back in the late 80s, early 90s, when people all of a sudden started to have TVs in their living rooms. Next thing you know, no one was sitting down at the table eating and talking to one another. Everybody was sitting down there just watching the TV, and the room was quiet. And it was, yep. It was kind of, you know, I think it's just everybody kind of getting used to technology, I guess, is the best way to say it.
And now it's technology on steroids. We got a question here tweeted to us. My buddy Scott Jameson was cycling yesterday, got caught in ping pong ball-sized hail out in Barrington.
Right.
He wanted
to
know if that meant there were tall storm tops.
Yeah, some of those cloud tops were pushing 45,000 feet. Numerous reports, Mike, of a 3/4 inch to 1 inch size hail. We had nearly about an inch of rain across the area. We had about 2 inches of rain for the week. As we mentioned last Sunday, a very normal week as far as temperature and precipitation goes. And this was the same storm system that pushed across north central Indiana. And unfortunately, as it moved to the Marion area where they had the Indianapolis, or the Indiana State Fair, it collapsed the stage. I don't know if you heard about this, but 5 fatalities involved,
over
30 injuries. Just terrible. And this is what I was thinking about last week when we had Lollapalooza going on, is what would happen if you had a squall line where you had 60 to 70 mile per hour winds. You know, is that stage, you know, sound, you know, from a structural standpoint? And clearly in this state or in this situation, we don't know what the situation was from a standpoint of how well it was built, but clearly, you know, this was not a good situation where you have, you know, that amount of injuries and obviously 5 fatalities. It's just a horrible, you know, set of circumstances when you put it all together.
But is that the last of it for a little while here?
Yeah, I think so. Right now, obviously, a lot of clouds out there. These are lake-effect clouds coming down the length of Lake Michigan. We have basically this large area of cool, low pressure kind of drifting across southern Michigan with the backside winds producing wind gusts about 20 to 25 miles per hour. Clouds sprinkles this morning, but this is going to be a pattern that's going to yield a lot of sunshine once we get rid of the cloud today. So mainly cloudy today. And then nothing in the way of any severe weather or even big thunderstorms until probably late Wednesday into Thursday. And even that doesn't really look like too much of a big deal. So we're getting into what typically is the second half of August, a little bit of a lull in heat, a little bit of a lull in thunderstorms, particularly from a severe weather standpoint. But, today will be a much different day than it was yesterday. And then the next couple of days look relatively quiet. In fact, the next week or two look quiet as well.
I walked out this morning, and I was chilly.
Oh, yeah.
It was just
temperatures in the mid-60s, and you had that north wind blowing at about 15 to 20 miles per hour, one of the cooler mornings we've had around here in a while. But yet, temperatures still for the month, about a degree or two above average. And it's right around this time of the year, Mike, when if you look at the normals, last week, normal high 83. This week, normal high 82. Next week, normal high about 80 to 81. So we get into that period where you begin to drop off top of the bell curve, and you'll get into these situations where you get some days and the temperatures in the, you know, upper 50s and low 60s. And this is also the 24th anniversary of the big heavy rain event that set the record for O'Hare, which was recently broken, believe it or not. Back in 1987, we had nearly 9 to 10 inches of rain over that period of time. So we have seen some big rains during the month of August, but it definitely looks like things are going to be on the quiet side. And cool side over the next couple of days. Wouldn't be surprised if the next few mornings a jacket may be required, but by the afternoon, a lot of sunshine and, you know, very, very pleasant temperatures and low humidity to boot as well.
Yeah, and just when you get used to that, it'll be middle of September and we'll get back to 95, right?
I don't think so right now. It definitely looks like things are going to be somewhat quiet. Very good from a standpoint of keeping the heat off to the south and the west. The tropics have definitely been active. We just finished up with Tropical Storm Franklin. That was a weak storm, pretty much, you know, out over the open water of the Atlantic. But interestingly enough, normally we don't hit the seventh tropical storm, or at least main storm, until about the 16th of September. So the fact that we're ready up to letter F, and it's only the 14th of August, means we're fairly, you know, we're a good 3 or 4 weeks ahead of schedule here. But I'm not a fan, Mike, of the next two names. The next name will be Gert, and after that is Harvey. I don't think I've ever been to a party where I actually had a Gert and a Harvey in the same room. Have you?
Well, the guy who hired me here is named Harvey, so I can't.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have to argue with you that. But Gert, yeah, I think I'm. That's a weird name for a tropical storm.
I guess it's short for Gertrude, but
I think or it should be. Why not Gertie? I would like Gertie. That would be
Pretty
a good one.
Good, yeah, Gertie and Harvey kind of goes together. Yeah, but Mr. Wells, we shouldn't diss him. It's nice having him.
Yeah, Harvey show. Wells, you know, that guy, he put me here in this seat, and I'm going to get him for that. No, I mean, I thank him for that. Hey, listen, one thing I got to say before I let you go is you predicted 2 weeks ago that we would not see another 90 for about at least 3 weeks, and you're right on schedule, buddy.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see another 90 again for another 2 weeks. The pattern has definitely pushed all the hot weather out to the west of us. So really the next 2 weeks, Mike, near normal temperatures, near normal rainfall. Matter of fact, driving through Indiana and Michigan, I'm actually in Southfield, Michigan this morning, outside of Detroit, your hometown. I was amazed at how well the corn crops looked in the soybean field was fantastic. I was down in Champaign last Thursday. They had much drier weather over the month of July, and their lawns look terrible in some areas. But up here through northern Indiana and Michigan, things are in good shape. So overall, the crops across the Midwest looking very, very good for the rest of the summer, Mike.
All right. That's Rick DeMaio. You can find his weather report at DeMaioWeather.com. Go to my website, MikeNovak.net. You can click on his lovely picture on the homepage. any TV gigs coming up?
Yeah, actually, I gotta head out of here about 2 in the afternoon, get home, and wake up bright and early. I'm doing the morning news on Channel 2, both Monday and Tuesday morning. So a quick turnaround for me. So you'll see me with my smiling face next to Susan Carlson and Jim Williams.
Well,
and, Derek Young doing traffic.
That's life and showbiz, pal, you know? It's a blessing and a curse. All right, Rick, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy, travel safely, okay?
Will do.
All right. Bye-bye. In the second hour of our program, we've got the filmmakers of Scrappers, a documentary about the guys drive around trucks. It's all part of the Chicago Recycling Coalition fundraiser this week. We'll tell you more about it. I hope you stick around for that.
I got a little change in my pocket going. Keep your hands to yourself.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show, here with Leah Petrusiak, who is filling in for the vacationing Heather Fry.
Heather the Firebrand Fry.
Who gets more time off than Ed Schultz. And I don't know why that is, but
money time.
She does. So, Brian, I'm going to ask you to swing that microphone around. No, not you, because we'll swing around that, so you each have one here. I'm very pleased to have in the studio Brian Ashby and Courtney Prokopas.
You got it.
Hey, how about that? I'm not so bad at that. By the way, I have to tell you, I just got a tweet from from Scott Jameson, and maybe it's because I mentioned his name on the air, so he's being nice to me. He said, check out Mike Now Facebook page. It's actually The Mike Novak Show. If you're into gardening and all things green, and he writes, read him, listen to him, like him. It just seems sad and pathetic, doesn't it, really? It's like, please like Mike. I remember when I was in grade school, I was running for class president. This is in grade school. And I was running for the president, and at the time, I mean, this is just so long ago, it's scary. Mattel had this little kit where you could make plastic badges. You poured in a little mold, and you could make little plastic badges. Mm-hmm. And I took my slogan from the Eisenhower campaign, which was "I like Ike." Which is one of the great slogans of all time. And, of course, mine was, I like Mike.
So you're a pre-Jordan?
Pre-Jordan.
Pre-Michael Jordan, I like Mike?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm totally pre-Michael Jordan. Yeah, he followed my footsteps, okay? And so I had these badges that said, I like Mike, and a friend of mine was wearing one. And he came up to me and he said, I like Mike, but I'm voting for Bob. So... that really worked well, didn't it? Pull those microphones just a little closer, guys. As I said, Brian Ashby and Courtney Prokopis are in the studio. They are filmmakers. University of Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because I know a friend of yours, John Kerensky.
Do you? Not a friend of mine.
Oh, oh, not anymore anyway, right?
Maybe a future friend of mine.
It could be. He knew you because he's a UFC guy, and I work with him occasionally. And he said, oh, yeah, I know those guys. It must be you're famous. You're the famous ones, all right? Well, you know, you are famous in a sense because I'm sure you're tired of this already when people go to the Roger Ebert review.
Oh, we're not tired in the
long. Oh, you're not? Oh, okay.
We love it.
Oh, you love that stuff. 3.5 stars. I mean, wow. You guys must have, and I see Leah's got on the screen the scrapper she was showing. She went to the website.
Yeah, I'm going to post this on Twitter here.
It's just astounding, some of the footage you have from your movie Scrappers. So you must have fallen on the floor when you saw that. The Ebert thing.
A little bit. It was quite a surprise.
Now, did you know he was going to review it?
Yeah, I sent it to him. I think in this sort of phase in his life and critical career, he's got a lot of freedom to review films he likes. And he really cares about Chicago film, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's got to be a really good point for documentary filmmakers, because here's a guy... he's been doing this for a long time, and as you said, he's not doing TV anymore, and he has... Can you imagine being Roger Ebert and just watching film after film? I think I'd lose my mind. That's what he does. And he blogs, and he's got a wonderful blog. I mean, if you've never been to Ebert's blog, it's... I see things... I usually see it on Twitter. Somebody will say, oh, Ebert just posted this great blog. And I'll go to it, and it's usually fantastic. Now, you have a third filmmaker, Ben Kolak, who's not here because?
Because he came down with a summer flu and lost his voice.
Dear. That's not good. That's not fun. You know, it's no fun getting sick in the summer. It's no fun getting sick any time, but you think, wait a second, this is the summer! I'm supposed to be having a good time! How long have the two of you been studying film, Courtney?
I graduated from the University of Chicago in 2006, and I was in the visual arts department. So I was working in film and video there, and sort of been dabbling with it since. But we met up after we graduated, though we graduated at the same time, and started working on the project, the three of us. So we started in 2006 and are continuing with it now.
You know, when I think of I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, the only one of the three of us who studied film academically is Ben. My training's all on the job.
Oh, really? The Earn As You Learn program. But, you know, it's the School of Hard Knocks, whatever, you know. What did you study?
Political science.
Well, that plays into this, though.
Yeah, I mean, it totally drew me to the scrappers. I was really, really curious about how that whole system worked.
Well, what was the germination of the idea? Whose idea was it to do this?
It was actually Ben's idea. He made a short film while he was at the UFC, profiling just one scrap recycling center and some of the people who went there. And met up with the two of us various spots, and we thought it would be worthy of a feature film. Actually, it was really nice as just underemployed college graduates. We didn't have a lot else to do at that period in 2006. We started hanging out at scrapyards many hours a week, probably talked to hundreds of scrappers. And putting that effort into the kind of pre-production of the film really paid off to find the two families that you do see in the film.
Well, that's where I have to go eventually, man. I've got a lot of questions about the film. So let's but I do want to explain again for those who weren't here for the first hour. Scrappers is a film about two guys who drive those trucks you see in the city of Chicago, and I would imagine some suburbs too.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they pick up metal scraps. And anybody knows, in the city of Chicago especially, but elsewhere, if you need to get rid of metal, that's the easy stuff. That's always the easiest thing you can do. You put it out with your garbage, put it on top, make sure it's highly visible, and it's usually gone in a half an hour. Because there's so many. Do you have any idea how many trucks are driving around like that?
You know, I looked for a long time to see if there would be statistics on the subject, but to my knowledge, nobody's collected them. Nobody's counted. People kind of turn to this work when, you know, they have some time in their life, and then they go away from it, and then there's some people who just work around the clock.
But it's kind of an underground economy.
It's absolutely.
Completely informal. Yeah, it's off the books.
Do they all get cash?
Yep, totally cash. I would think the large scrapyards each would serve several hundred customers a day, and there's more than 100 scrapyards in Chicago.
So how do these guys, driving these trucks, taking the scrapyards, getting paid in cash, how is it they don't get screwed by the people who are paying them? And you know, because, who knows, probably a number of them are illegals. A lot of them, they might be going on to, they might be trespassing to get stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of shady things going on. And I imagine one of the shady things is that the people who are paying them might not give them their full due.
That's a reasonable concern, but it's sort of like how when you go to a new mechanic, you're not quite sure if they're going to charge you the right amount or not. It's a trust issue.
Oh, wait a second. Except for my mechanic.
Yeah.
Pete.
I need his name.
Pete. Okay, I will give you his name. I love Pete, if you're listening, I love you, baby. All right? You are my mechanic. I'm not even going to... Well, he's on Wilson and Pulaski.
Good.
I love Pete, and I know I'm always getting a fair deal from him. But you're right; it's like a doctor, mm-hmm. or a mechanic. We're always looking for somebody we can trust. So I guess they go to the people they can trust.
Yeah, it's just a whole informal market based on everyday interactions where people give each other information and tips and what have you. And the scrapyards that are thought to be cooking the books or having inaccurate scales or something go out of business. And it works two ways, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys come in and try to cheat them, where they drive their truck in full of tanks of water, or they'll fill up their aluminum cans full of pebbles, stuff like that. So there's a lot of strong trust between people, and then a lot of distrust, and it's a anxiety-filled scene at the scrapyard a lot of times.
But you know what? And that's another thing you bring up in the film. The whole thing is anxiety-ridden because of the fluctuations in the economy. As you start out in 2007, mm-hmm. basically, and you show what happens to the market in the course of a couple of years. Now, obviously, you had to stop shooting at some point. Otherwise, you could have followed it to where we are now, and maybe there's a slight rebound, maybe there's not. I mean, have you kept up with these people since you finished the film?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And just to talk about the fluctuations in the market, we got supremely lucky as documentary filmmakers. You know, what drew us to scrapping was it was clear to us that the prices were high and lots of people were doing this. We wanted to know why. But we filmed with these two families for about a year and a half, and then this completely unprecedented crash of the market happened. No one had ever seen anything like it before. None of the scrappers, none of the scrap dealers. And, you know, it was a fallout in the commodities market of what happened to the stock market. Mm-hmm. And it happened literally overnight, the way it's portrayed in our film. The prices went down to, you know, 75% to 90%. And in other recycled goods, like paper and stuff like that, prices went into a negative.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I and again, by the way, we're talking to Brian Ashby, Courtney Prokopis, who are filmmakers who made the documentary Scrappers, which is going to be shown this Thursday at the Logan Square Kitchen as part of a fundraiser for the Chicago Recycling Coalition. You point out that at one point in the film, a ton was getting $300, and then suddenly it was $60. And right. These are people who are living... are scrambling as it is, mm-hmm. living day to day on these paychecks. And suddenly it was costing them more to drive the trucks around than the money they could get for the scrap. And yet they go on that because I assume it's because it's the only thing they know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the most amazing thing is that you got to know them as people, and that's what you find out in the film. It's not just about the commodities and how do you get this metal and what can you do with this. You suddenly were in their homes, in their kitchens. One guy has to go to the hospital. One guy, and the same guy, he moves three times or twice, you know, in the course of the film, and you're following him. How did you get that access? How did they trust you with that?
It was very quick with Oscar. The first day we met him, he said...
And the two names are Oscar and...
Oh, Oscar and Otis.
Otis.
The first day that we met Oscar, he said, come on back, my wife's making soup. So once we met him, we knew this is our guy.
Uh-huh.
We spent the afternoon with his family, hanging out, talking about more than just scrap.
And how old is Oscar?
Oscar is...
Pushing 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Otis is in his 70s.
Yes.
And he's been doing
this... He's pushing 80,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. And you see him out there lifting this stuff and dragging this stuff and throwing it in the truck. But again, it's... You know, I got an aunt who's in her mid-90s mm-hmm. and works, as far as I know, still 4 days a week at a gas station in Detroit. And she says it keeps her alive. You know, this is what she looks forward to. She's not sitting home watching TV, thank God. And same thing with Otis. I'm sure that that's what's keeping him going.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can give people who might be considering coming on Thursday an idea of who the characters they're going to see in the film are. Otis is this older African-American guy from the South Side. His background was kind of as a neighborhood junk man figure. So he's been involved in scrapping for 40 or 50 years. He learned it from Polish immigrants, and he raised 12 kids.
Those are my people, you
yeah.
know. Okay.
And
Leah's, of course.
But he raised 12 kids successfully just by being a scrapper. He used to have a building where he ran a flea market where he would fix up all of these materials, home appliances and stuff like that, and basically ran a one-man shop where he would collect, repair, and sell all these goods. And then we met him shortly after that when his wife had passed away and he moved into a senior CHA housing project. Then things get very interesting in his life in the film in some ways you just described. And the other character is
yeah,
Oscar.
We don't want to give that away because it actually is intriguing to see what's happening to him in ways that are tangentially related to what he does, the scrapping thing.
The other character is Oscar, who is an undocumented immigrant from Honduras. Came to the country probably around 10 years ago at this point and got into scrapping because... it was so much better than the other opportunities that were available to him. Didn't have anyone looking over his back. He didn't have to work in the kind of menial, insulting conditions a lot of people like him do. And he found that if he worked harder, he'd make more money, which wasn't true in a lot of other aspects of his life. And he really liked being out in his community, basically 100% Hispanic community on the Northwest Side, where he would meet people and make social connections to get metal and just kind of enjoy himself out on the scene collecting scrap.
Yes, Leo, pull the mic over if you want it. Yeah. Okay.
I just want to say my grandpa was a big can collector, and he used to tell stories about, you talk about how it's almost probably like the trading floor, like with stocks, where everybody's kind of, no, I'll give this. No, da-da-da. Is it kind of like that? I think I kind of envision it.
Yeah, well, the prices of metal are determined on a commodities exchange, which is exactly like the trading floor. There's two of them. There's one in London and one in Mexico City.
Oh.
And then these scrap dealers at their local yards monitor those prices online, and they fluctuate, you know, every 5 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And then they change their prices, and the scrappers are calling them all around the city to find out who's paying what. And this it's a process that goes on 24 hours.
And I also want to say that we gave my grandpa 10 huge bags filled with cans one day for Father's Day, and he almost, like, dropped dead. He was like, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever. But then we got him a can crusher one year. My family did. But that wasn't good because the recycling guys don't like to crush cans because you can, like, pack sand and stuff into it right to weigh it down. And I didn't realize that there are all these, like, industry tricks to make your load a little heavier when they weigh it.
Did you run into those gaming techniques?
Certainly ran into a lot of people who knew about them and were trying to circumvent them.
Yeah. Or circumvent them.
Wow. Some of the most dramatic footage you have in there is in the yards themselves. Is that a little scary to be in there? I mean, I'm sure you were safe, but those cranes and those claws and the things that crush metal, it's awe-inspiring in a way and terrifying at the same time.
We were very close to those piles.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any stories to tell?
No. And one thing that the scrapyards pride themselves on is safety, and that their employees follow guidelines and everyone wears a hard hat. So they were very – that was the one consideration that they had for us, that you need to have a hard hat. You need to be very careful. Like, if we say move, you need to move.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Yeah, now. Yeah. And it's for your own good.
It was harder to get that trust with those facilities than even with our characters. It took a long time.
Were they suspicious of you in any way?
Yes. Like I mentioned before about that anxiety-ridden scene, the scrapyards that are doing good business are extremely safe and take their regulations really seriously. But they're under constant monitoring by the EPA, by OSHA, by the police for any number of things. So people thought... I don't know what they thought, but they thought we had a lot of interesting different motivations than what we might have had. But we eventually convinced some people we were legit. But at the same time, as hard as they work on safety, sometimes things happen. Like, they work really, really hard to make sure propane tanks don't end up in the waste stream there. But sometimes they do, and then they blow up.
Oh, my goodness.
In terms of stories, once Oscar threw part of my tripod into the scrap heap, and it was too late to get it out.
Did he just get carried away? Oh, look, metal. Yeah.
It was on the floor of his truck. We hadn't realized we dropped it there, and it was mixed in with some other stuff.
Oh, my. Yeah, and they don't care, because even if stuff works, if it still works, it's going to go to scrap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they're not interested in whether it's intact. They're interested in its metal value. And as a matter of fact, I noticed that when I was watching in the film, them unloading some of the stuff, and I'm looking at it and goes, hey, that's a perfectly good whatever widget.
Aluminum ladders.
That was it. Yeah, it was a ladder. I was looking at that and saying, they're throwing away a perfectly good aluminum ladder. What the heck? And couldn't they get more money reselling the ladder?
Probably. And I imagine, Mike, you want to talk about this film vis-a-vis recycling, because we'll be screening this film at a benefit for the Chicago Recycling Coalition. And what makes it work, why it's kind of the oldest form of recycling, is, you know, economies of scale. So what I learned is that in production of new steel, 80% of the iron comes from recycled steel. And that's the way it's been for quite some time. But at the same time, that massive economy of scale makes it such that if they see some item that could be reused in its current form, it's not worth their time to pull it out. So all the time we spend in scrapyards, we'd pull out all these great, amazing antique items and take them home and stuff. But it doesn't make sense for them to do that. All they care about is chemical elements and weights.
Amazing. All right. That's Brian Ashby. Courtney Prokopis is here as well. Ben Kolak is the third of the triumvirate that made the film Scrappers. I'm glad you brought it up, because we have to talk about recycling in Chicago. And by the way, if anybody's got a question, 773-838-9278 about the film, about recycling. We are having a fundraiser. And when I say we... I say this all the time when I talk about this. I'm president of the Chicago Recycling Coalition. What does that mean? It means I spend a lot of time trying to raise money and trying to get the word out about recycling in Chicago. As you know, we've had a terrible, 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 terrible recycling system, practically non-existent for a long, long time. We've got blue carts. It's so hard to explain about recycling in Chicago, especially to people who move here from other cities, who blink and scratch their heads and say, what? What? You know, I just came from Portland. I just came from New York. I just came from Atlanta. I came from wherever. And they all have recycling programs that work. Here, right now, the best you can say about recycling in Chicago is that some people have it. That's the best you can say.
And some people do it because it takes
And some
time
people
and
do, it.
To do it.
When I recycle, and I recycle a lot from my home, it piles up for a while because I have to take it to a drop-off center and put it into the big blue dumpster. So I don't do it every day. There's a recycling day, once a month or something like that. I take it over there, and this is because the households in Chicago, which are four units, they divide it up in the city of Chicago, in case you're not familiar with it. If you have four units or fewer in a building, that's considered basically a single-family residence, even though there might be four. And those buildings are supposed to get blue carts, which started under Daley administration in 2008 after the horrible, horrible blue bag program failed so miserably for 15 years. So they went to blue cart, and they said by the end of 2011, we will roll out all 600,000 blue carts. Well, then the economy tanked, as you guys just talked about in the film. You saw it happen with the scrappers. It happened with the city of Chicago. We have a $700 million deficit here, or something. Who knows exactly what it is. And so a third, about 40% of the households ended up with blue cart before they ran out of money. So right now, about, 240,000 residences have blue carts, which means that parts of wards, we've talked about this, I've had aldermen on the show to talk about this. It's weird because it's not as if it was ward to ward. It's just they do it on a grid. So parts of wards will have blue cart, and aldermen are faced with phone calls from people who say, well, my neighbor has it across the alley, but I don't have it. How come? And the alderman has to say, I don't know, because there's no money. Well, when are we going to get it? I don't know. There's no money. And then the Daley administration decided it was going to, well, it started, it sent out the floater here, the, what do you call it, the, whatever. They made noises about privatizing at the end of the administration, and it never happened. The idea was that the city was going to be divided into six areas, and private companies were going to pick up the recycling, and it was going to be taken away from the Department of Streets and Sanitation, which does it right now. Well, Daley left office. That didn't happen. So Rahm Emanuel comes in, and Rahm recently, just last month, said, okay, we're going to follow through on this in a way. We're going to give four of those areas to private companies in what he's calling managed competition. And managed competition is basically going to pit the private companies in four areas versus city workers in two areas. And Mayor Emanuel says we're going to give them 6 months and then we're going to see who's most cost effective. Here's a problem with that. First of all, waste management has three of those areas, and waste management has a very, let me just say, checkered history. To be really kind to the company. There are a number of other questions. Now, if I don't have time to go into all of them right now, but I will go into some of them, and you can find out more by going to my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, because I put a link to an article that we've put together in the Chicago Recycling Coalition, and again, and I almost forgot my full disclosure, I don't make any money doing that. Let me just tell you, as president. We wrote an article called, Is Mayor Emanuel's Managed Competition Really Just Stealth Privatization? And in a sense, I think it might be. Because he's going to do this managed competition for 6 months. And then who's deciding and how is it being decided that one company or another or the city workers have been more effective? You know, what other criteria will be measured by number of households, placing the appropriate recycles in the appropriate containers, by a reduction in the amount of waste hauled away? What will be the criteria of the private workers compared to the city union workforce? Will private companies be required to provide a detailed financial breakdown of their operations? Where will the numbers be posted? I mean, we have question upon question upon question upon question. Now, I will say the Emanuel administration has done a pretty good job of pretending Chicago Recycling Coalition does not exist. So, you know, we put it up there and I talk about it on my radio show and I say, okay, we would like to know how the transparency in this will work. How transparent will it be? Where can we get the numbers? And how can we be sure that this isn't just a scam? You know, that at the end of 6 months, that the decision's already been made, that it's going to be privatized. But you know what? We'll give it 6 months and we'll pretend that we're doing a real competition. So this is another reason we're having this benefit. This coming Thursday, doors open at 6 p.m. at the Logan Square Kitchen, which is a gold LEED certified building. And Zena Murray from, oh, you know what?
What's the address?
We need to get her on the phone. I forgot. I didn't put her name down because she first told me she wasn't going to be able to make it, and I think she can. And let me just send this to you, Heather.
Leah.
You're not Heather. Okay, here. Give Zena a call. Let's see if she's available. I'm not sure she is at the moment, but she runs the Logan Square Kitchen, and in addition to showing the movie Scrappers, like I said, we're going to have beer and wine. We're going to have craft beer, craft soda, as a matter of fact, which is kind of cool. Gourmet popcorn. We're going to have the PC rebuilders and recyclers going to be on hand to pick up electronic waste, which I think is wonderful. There's going to be tours of the Logan Square Kitchen. And you can ask questions about this whole deal that I've been talking about and waxing poetic on for a couple of minutes here. I think a lot of people in the city of Chicago want to know really what's going on. Well, we don't know. And you know, and Blue Card is just the tip of the iceberg. We have this whole group. There's another link that I've put on my website, which is an article that just ran in the Chicago Reader. Mick Dumke, who's been on the show a number of times, has an excellent piece called Why You Should Care About the Way Garbage is Picked Up, because now Mayor Emanuel wants to, he's talking about putting a grid system in for garbage pickup. Now, there are good things about that. I just want to make sure that this is being done right, that this is just not a closet way to bust the unions, because this might be what his intention is all along. Don't know. I know what he says he's going to do, but his relationship with the unions is not particularly wonderful at the moment. So we are looking for good people to come to the event, talk to us, mobilize, get some things taken care of. And that's why I'm so happy to have you, Brian, and Courtney. You guys are going to be there and answer questions about the movie as well. And as a matter of fact, we have a person on the line right now who's got a question about Scrappers. So
all right,
let's go to line one. You guys have your headsets on. Santo, one of my favorite listeners. How you doing?
I'm okay. I just got at the beginning of this crash of this economy, I was a union bricklayer. I was out of work for about, until I retired, I was probably out of work for almost a year and a half, 2 years. So I started getting into scrapping, and I spent a lot of time in the scrap yards. And I watched a lot of businesses that went under, scrap out a lot of their equipment, their scaffolding, their shelving, their machinery. And then you sit around, you hear the politicians talking a lot of baloney over here, and I think it's all baloney in my opinion, about we need to create jobs. Well, we've taken a lot of our industry and we've sent it to the scrapyard. how does somebody think that they're going to start a new business when somebody's had a business for 50, 60, 80 years, the economy crashes, taxes go up, EPA, OSHA's involved more and more, more regulations on top of businesses. How do they think that this country is ever going to get back to manufacturing or warehousing or anything? Everything's being outsourced all over the world. I look at the big picture, this big economy, and I just, based upon how I look into the scrapyard and see how everything's being pushed into the dump, because now scrap is $290 a ton, and people need money. So, I mean, I don't see how this country is going to retool itself because of the price of steel being double the price of regulations. Every time you turn around, there's a new regulation, a new certification, you know. I don't know. Did you guys, your guests over there, I mean, was this one of the issues of this movie, or what's their view on it?
Sando, what I would say, first of all, it sounds like a question for Tom Hartman, who probably has an opinion. But, yeah, Brian and Courtney, did you deal with this at all?
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm going to hang up.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling, Sando. Always pleasure hearing from you.
Cool. Well, yeah, Sando, that's obviously rather a tough question, but it is exactly the kind of themes we wanted to address in this movie by looking into that entire scene. So, some people, when they see these scrappers, might follow the line I alluded to before that, you know, this is really an innovative form of recycling. There's people on the bottom of the economy. They're able to get some money to survive. The taxpayer doesn't have to pay for this. You know, why isn't it good? And then other people might look at it and say, this is indicative of the sort of new economy, the one you just described, where the only thing that's happening industrially is people taking apart, you know, dismantling and shipping away our old industry. And it's not like we have an answer to that question, but we're showing off certainly how real it is.
Well, and how it affects the common person. You know, that's it. And I think what Ebert saw in your film was the humanity you bring to this.
Yeah, and it's exactly the point Sando just made, that people make decisions based simply on economic incentives. So more people are going to do this work if the price of metal is higher, and he was just comparing it on the phone now to the price of regulation of running certain kinds of businesses, and I'd say that's certainly true. And all of the scrap, a vast majority of it, also gets exported to be taken apart in other countries that have lower, you know, human services and environmental regulations.
I just got a Twitter post, a tweet asking, you know, when and where is it being shown. The link is on MikeNovak.net, and the easiest way, just go to my homepage, and you're going to see a popcorn box with the Chicago Recycling Coalition logo on it. Just click on there. All the information is there. You can get your tickets at Brown Paper Tickets. And let me make a point, folks. It's $20. It's only $20. Now, you're going to spend $20 on nothing, believe me, in the next week. We could really use your help. We're, you know, I don't make many pitches on this show to raise money ever for anything. This is something I believe in because there's nobody else in the city of Chicago working on the recycling problem the way we are. And we're not for profit. Nobody gets paid. We've been doing this for 25 years. We are part of the reason the blue bag got brought down, and we continue to fight for real recycling in Chicago. Once we get past the blue card, see, my whole problem with the Emanuel administration right now is I'm not seeing a comprehensive plan. What they're doing, you know, trying to expand, blue card, that's not comprehensive recycling. Comprehensive recycling is going to involve all the high rises, which are not covered by the blue cart, hundreds of thousands of people. We haven't addressed composting, which is a huge issue. It doesn't really address garbage pickup, which is part of that deal. Yes, you know, we're making noises about going to a grid system, which makes a lot of aldermen angry because it's picked up by a ward system, which is inefficient. The problem with that, as Mick Dumke points out in his article, and as I've said all along, is if you take away the power of the alderman to control your garbage pickup and to some extent your recycling, but right now garbage pickup, they lose power. Well, this is a city where all the power is concentrated in City Hall as it is. Is that what you want? You know, why don't we just crown an emperor? We could do that too. His other good point is that maybe aldermen need to stand up and actually do what they're paid to do, which is to make laws and make good laws and not be a rubber stamp for City Hall. That'd be a nice thing too. I don't expect it in the city of Chicago, but you never know what can happen when people fight for what they believe in. So this is why I'm saying, please, if you can, come to Logan Square Kitchen Thursday, 6 p.m. The doors open. The movie starts at 7:30. Bring your electronic recycling. Put it out there. Come and talk to us. If you can't make it, make a donation online. We've got the link. Like I said, click on the popcorn box at mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net. You'll find out where to you'll see all the information at the bottom. You can click on and make a donation. We'd rather have you come to the event so you can meet the filmmakers and see Scrappers and talk about that as well, because it's all mixed in. It's, you know, it's people's lives. It's about the way we live and live in an environmentally sound way. And we need to get this done. It's just crazy. This is the 21st century. Heck, we're in the second decade of the 21st century, and we don't recycle in Chicago. Looks like Zena's not available. That's okay. She's going to be there. She's going to give tours of the kitchen. You'll meet her. She's wonderful. And again, the kitchen is just a shared use kitchen, and they use it for events and other things. And it's just fabulous. I've rambled on enough. Before I let you go, I just real quick question, Brian and Courtney, what was this separation of duties in terms of who did the shooting, who did the editing, or was it everybody did everything?
There was a little bit of everybody doing everything. Mm-hmm. I was behind the camera most of the time, so I did most of the shooting. Brian and Ben did their fair part as well. We had two cameras on a lot of times, so there had to be two of us behind those cameras. Brian,
where did you get your equipment? Is it yours, or did you rent?
No, started out with Ben Kolak's freelance video business and sort of acquired more from there, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, all three of us shot the film. All three of us did the sound on the film. We together did a lot of editing, and then we worked with a really talented editor named Aaron Wickenden, who works at Kartemquin Films, which is a really strong documentary collective in Chicago. Another film that he just edited called The Interrupters, which is about the ceasefire program, is premiering this weekend.
Oh, I'd like to see that, because ceasefire has been active in my neighborhood, and they're controversial. You know, it's a very interesting group, controversial group. I don't know if you've heard of Ceasefire, but for those folks listening.
Well, that's sort of another film involving similar people from our group. And then the composer is a Chicago jazz drummer called Frank Rosalie.
Mm-hmm. Great. Oh. Well, and you had your own music.
Yeah, it's all original.
Yeah.
And, we'll really look forward to discussing these issues in a little more depth after the screening. I'm really interested in what people from recycling sort of activism have to say about this movie, because like you said, all these issues are interconnected, but I'm really wondering where you see the solution fitting in, too. I really appreciate it when you said your view of the film made you think of the humanity and dignity of these characters, which is what we set out to do. But I'm wondering, too, because Scrappers in some ways disinhibit a city recycling program, because they take the most valuable recyclables, right?
Uh-huh. Well,
we have a call. Where can you see the film?
All right, let's take a real quick call. Marcy, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, I love your show. Unfortunately, I won't be able to come to the fundraiser, so where can I see this movie after that?
That's a really good question, isn't it?
Hey, it's screened theatrically in Chicago quite a bit, but you can purchase a DVD from us at scrappersmovie.com, and we're working to make the film available digitally on Netflix or similar services, but it's not quite there yet.
You can also find us on Facebook, Scrappers, and we post whenever we have a screening there.
Excellent.
Throughout the country. So.
Thank you very much.
Marcy, if you can't make it, I would consider giving a contribution to the Chicago Recycling Coalition.
I absolutely will. That was my other question, but you'd already answered it.
Great. Do you live in Chicago?
I live in Northwest Indiana, and we have a very good recycling program.
Ah, boy. Everybody does except us. Okay.
All right. Have a great day.
You too, Marcy. Bye-bye. All right, folks, thank you so much. Brian Ashby, Courtney Prokopis, you'll see them Thursday at our benefit for the Chicago Recycling Coalition. It was so great having you on the program, and I will – we have a sound check on Wednesday, Brian.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Oh, thank you for telling me. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad. I've got it marked in the calendar. I'll probably get it wrong, but you're right. It is Tuesday morning, and I'll see you. And thank you both for coming down.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. We're smack in the middle of August, and it looks as though the heat is gone, but you never know. If you're a gardener, you need to be prepared for anything, which means you need a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine to know all you need to know about your Zone 5 garden. The July-August issue features an article about a friend of mine, Melinda Myers. Now, you hear her voice on the Milorganite commercials that run on this show. Her goal is to make gardening fun, which means she hasn't been listening to my show. Anyway, read the article in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, and you might just come over to her side. Nina Koziel, that's the the side of light, by the way. Nina Koziel tells you about some crops that you should be putting in the ground right now for fall harvest. They include Swiss chard, of which I am overlord, in case you didn't know, and bok choy. And in case you wouldn't know what to do after you pick them, Nina includes a couple of recipes. Then there's my column on the inside back page. There's no recipe for making that taste good. You might have to read it anyway. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. Even better, get a subscription. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Available where garden supplies are sold.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Did you know that the Care of Trees has a blog? You can find the link to it on their homepage, thecareoftrees.com. Thecareoftrees.com. Look at the right side of the page and choose a subject that you want to read about. Among the topics that the experts at the Care of Trees have been discussing lately are tree scale insects and how to look out for them. Whose tree is this anyway? I always like that TV show. Whose tree is this anyway? Where were we? Tree myth busters. Why do people plant trees? What are tree ordinances and does your community have them? Historic and famous trees. One sensitive tree, one stressed tree owner. That sounds like a goodie. Pruning trees in winter? Absolutely. And holiday gifts made from trees. I hope not live ones. Made from trees, nature, and green materials. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, check out the blog on the Care of Trees site or invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business's people, and their love for trees.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Sustainable food fundamentals.
growing good food that's good for the earth.
Big Cornbread said, now that's all right. Big. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
And we go to line two and bring in my favorite organic farmer.
Favorite? Awesome.
Hell, what?
I'm your favorite? I love it.
I am. You are. I mean, I've gotten to know you over the course of these months, and you always give me good information, and it's interesting to talk to you about what's going on over at Sweet Home Organics. We're talking to Kim Marson, who's one of the chief cooks and bottle washers there. how you doing?
Really good. Really good. Loving this weather.
Oh, my goodness. Now, let's go there, and I should say that you and Rachel Recklau, how do you pronounce her last name?
Recklau.
Rachel Recklau are partners in this, and they're what I call commuter farmers, which I'm glad you've sort of picked up on that phrase, that you like that.
I do.
And they drive to work, and they farm out in St. Charles area, and all the information's on my website at mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. How is this weather treating you? It's cooler. How does that help? How does that hurt?
Well, it helps my my broccoli that I planted perhaps a little early, but you know. But my tomatoes probably aren't thrilled, so we'll see how they fared with all that excessive wind we had yesterday. But so the cold-loving crops are happy for them, like my lettuces that are in there. Hopefully they won't bolt, like some of them have been. So it's a mix, definitely.
Yeah, it is, and it's a shame because that's the way things work. You know, I'm working on my community garden, Green on McLean, and you can find the link to that on my homepage, mikenovak.net. And we're in the process of planting our fall crops for, you know, we got our lettuces and some beets and some radishes and some spinach, and they're going to be real happy.
Yep.
But as you said, the tomatoes.
They're going to slow down a little bit, yeah.
The peppers are going to slow down a little bit. What about cabbage? Is it sort of an in-between? Does it care?
I think cabbage is, I put that in the cold-loving crops. I mean, you can definitely get some that are heat-tolerant, et cetera, but I think of that more as my bookend crops, my fall and spring stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've been growing it. See, we planted those around the beginning of June, and, you know, they're just starting to get to decent size. So,
and they really want water, too. So aside from the heat, as long as you can keep lots of water on them, they'll keep creating those curly leaves for you.
Now, the one thing you described to me that I thought was really fascinating is that you're starting to switch fields out.
Yep.
What does that mean? And it really can apply to backyard gardeners as well, right?
Absolutely. So in organic growing, typically you leave a section of fallow or without, you know, growing real high plants that don't pull lots of nitrogen, et cetera.
And well, they actually, maybe the reverse, actually put nitrogen into the soil.
Exactly. So I consider it like, you know, my food crops aren't out there. So I'm planting green manures or cover crops that will help to replenish the soil.
Now people might not be, some people might not be aware of that. I'm sure, you know, organic gardeners are. But a lot of people are used to, you know, putting some blue stuff on the soil, and they say, well, that's how you fertilize. But you can fertilize using plants.
Right.
And what are some of the plants you've, and when you say that the soil has been fallow for a couple of years, you've had these plants that put nutrients into the soil, so you haven't been putting your tomatoes and your squashes and anything there. You've just had these plants.
Right. And the beauty of, you know, where we grow, you know, in connection with the Living History Farm is we've been growing red clover. Next year we're looking to grow alfalfa as our main cover crop, and those are high nitrogen returning crops. But how I'm tying in the Living History Farm is they have animals that they're trying to feed with hay. So our arrangement with them is that they'll cut basically and manage those 2 acres that are in cover crops so that then they can gather up hay and feed their animals with it.
Now, you said you've had red clover in some of your fallow, and it's not really fallow.
Nah.
That's kind of a misnomer because it's actually you're recharging the soil.
There you go, yeah.
But red clover can be difficult to deal with.
It can, yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because the root systems are really deep, So it has a positive in that if you create a hard pan or a layer deep down where plants have a hard time breaking through, the root system in the red clover will actually help break that up. So because the root system are so low, when you typically till, like with a rototiller, you're not going to be able to get down as deep. So even though you may have disturbed the top layer of roots, the bottom layer can still continue to grow.
So why use red clover?
Well, I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. It was a recommendation, and it sounded like a good idea.
Well, but you know, you wrote something, and I actually put most of your letter up on my website because you did it so eloquently.
Oh, thanks.
You said, you know, the complaint about what we call traditional farming, what's now, or conventional, let's put it that way, because traditional is really organic.
Right.
Conventional farming these days is synthetic. And a lot of farmers just leave the fields bare. And you said, as you were first getting into this, you couldn't imagine why they would do that.
Right.
Now you're understanding that if you use a cover crop, that even if it puts nitrogen in the soil, you still have to deal with getting that out of there.
Right, right. And so how we're managing that this year is we're putting in a winter kill cover crop. So it's still going to hold the soil through the plant's engagement, but it's going to die in the winter so that it's just got, like, the dead carbon mass on top. And so then that way we hope to just no-till straight into it. In other words, plant our food crops straight in without having to till, because typically in the spring it's so super wet that the idea of trying to get in there to kill or to till out, you know, the plants or the cover crop that you're not wanting to continue to grow can be a big challenge.
And tilling is a problem. Why? Whipping up weed seeds, maybe?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, definitely. But I kind of think of it as like you're living in an apartment, and then somebody comes in and says, all right, we're moving, let's go. And then you're like, wait, I got to put my picture back on the wall, and I got to put my couch right back in the corner. So when I'm talking about, you know, all your furniture, the analogy is all of those microbes. So when you're tilling, you're disturbing their home. And so after you till, they've got to reestablish where their furniture goes and where their picture goes.
I think that you've said it perfectly well, because that's what I say to folks, you know, there are people out there listening to the show right now who rototill religiously twice a year.
Yep.
And I tell them, well, you know what? You're busting up the soil food web.
Right.
You've got all these microbes and insects. I mean, you're chopping up worms for one thing.
Right.
And if you're doing that, you're chopping up a lot else.
And let's also bring up the conversation, Mike, about never till when it's wet.
Okay.
I see so many people who do that. Like, I'll be out, you know, because we have the community gardeners nearby, and they're like, oh, I got to get in there and rototill. And it just rained like half an inch. And I'm like, don't do it. But I can't run over and knock on their doors. That feels rude. But you don't want to do that, because then you're creating clumps and having, you know, all that air, et cetera, you know, for those microbes to move around in their web is so important. And when you till when it's wet, you're just totally destroying all that.
That's a really good tip. Well, my advice would be never rototill, except when, if you got hard pan and you're putting in your garden in the first place.
Yep.
And then add the organic matter and rototill. And then after that, like you do, plant cover crop or just add compost on top. Try not to disturb the soil, because there are colonies of organisms, microorganisms, macroorganisms that are all working there, doing their jobs. And that's what creates tilth and health in your soil.
Right.
So, well, real quickly,
yes.
What's been good, what's not been not so good in the season this year?
We've had a real hard time getting our carrots up. So, like, the direct-seeded carrots and beets, we've really been struggling with that. I think that's just being able to keep water on. But our kale has been beautiful. I've never had the
chips.
Yes.
What's that, kale chips?
Kale chips.
Kale chips.
We've got one CSA, or one of our CSA members keeps coming to the farm stand, and he's got this cute way of telling me that it's my fault that he's now addicted to kale chips and yellow summer squash. But his face is so stoic, and he's like, it's your fault. This is all
what
your
is
fault.
It? You just throw it in the oven with some olive oil and a little bit of sea salt. But you have to make sure the kale is dry.
I've been told. You can't put it in. You're not supposed to cook it wet, I heard.
You know, I've prefer actually using a dehydrator.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it can go as wet as you want. And then you can load it up with, I've used a toasted sesame seed oil.
Oh,
and then
my God. Or toasted sesame seeds.
Yeah, and then, I buzz some garlic. And put that all in there.
I love a garlic buzz.
Delicious.
Nutritious.
That's Kim Marson with Sweet Home Organics. You can find out more about her. I want to thank Angelic Organics Learning Center. You guys are like, you're featured in their farmer profile.
Look at us.
Yeah. So go to Angelic Organics Learning Center. I've got the link on my website this week. We will be talking again soon. Keep hanging in there.
Thanks, brothers. Take care.
I'll talk to you later.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye. Before we get out of here, we got this. I got this tweet. A message from Lamanda. Please tell Princess Bling Bling I now have the Stormtrooper march in my head. Between that and the gray skies, it is a very ominous Sunday. Thank you, Leah Petrusiak, for doing that to her. I'm glad.
I'd like to challenge Fleetwood Mac. Thunder doesn't always happen when it's raining.
Maybe we'll play that next week. Chris, sorry. Send me your song suggestion. Mike at MikeNovak.net. He called. Is that a he or she?
It's a he.
Okay. Send it to me. We'll try it. We'll be back next week. Leah's here again. I hope you'll join us. And join us in the tweet off tomorrow. Go green or go home.
Go home.